Hey, Proof listeners. Plougra's premium European-style butter is a favorite of bakers. Why? Cook's Illustrated recipe developer, Erica Turner, sums it up.
Hey, Kevin. Did you know that the kind of butter you use when you're baking can actually make a difference in how your dish turns out?
I did not.
Butters that are slow-churned, like Plougra, are easier to work with because they make doughs more pliable. The amount of fat in the butter also makes a difference.
Tell me more.
Okay, so most American butters contain around 80% butterfat, but European-style butters, like Plougra, have a higher fat content. In fact, Plougra Premium European-style butter always contains 82% butterfat.
And you're saying 2% is enough to make a noticeable difference?
Oh, yeah, definitely. With Plougra Slow Churn Butter and its 82% butterfat content, you'll notice richer, flakier pastries, cakes that rise higher, and cookies that crisp more easily.
Embrace your inner butter lover, from professional kitchens to your home. Visit Plougra.com for more information. I'm holding this book in my hands right now, and it's well-worn and tattered and something I've had since college, and it's called The General and His Labyrinth, and it's written by the father of magical realism himself, Gabriel Garcia Marquez. It's about Simon Bolivar, the leader responsible for freeing Venezuela, Ecuador, Peru, Panama, Bolivia, and Colombia from Spanish colonial rule. The book traces Bolivar's last months as he travels by river from Bogota to his deathbed on the Colombian coast. Here's a passage from the book's English translation. It was the fourth time he had traveled along the Magdalena, and he could not escape the impression that he was retracing the steps of his life. Now, in the novel, the Magdalena River is a portal into the significant moments of the general's life, and likewise, a vehicle to the end of his life. Garcia Marquez picked the Magdalena because he spent time swimming in its magical waters during his childhood. The Magdalena is Colombia's main river. It is its lifeblood. It's not only important geographically, but in a way, spiritually. Colombians have long gone to the Magdalena on a tradition known as the Paseo de Olla. The translation? The cooking pot trip. In a Paseo de Olla, Colombians journey to the banks of the river with these huge pots, and once they arrive, they'll cook a stew on top of a wood fire and then enjoy it with their loved ones while swimming in the river. It's a tradition that Proof contributor Camilo Garzón has never had the chance to experience himself. Today on Proof from America's Test Kitchen, Camilo embarks on a journey to his home country of Colombia to experience his first ever Paseo de Olla. I'm Kevin Pang. Thanks for listening. Stick around. Reporter Camilo Garzón brings us today's story.
Oye, ma, y cuando iban por allá, por Guarinocito, eso es al lado del río Magdalena.
Es al lado del río Magdalena, pero no estoy segura.
This is my mom, Sara. When she was growing up in Colombia, in the 70s, she would go with her family on paseos de olla.
El caso era que había como una quebrada donde podíamos ir y saltar y clavar, ¿no? Clavar le decíamos nosotros.
On the banks of the river, they would eat sancocho, a delicious, thick, and hearty stew made in an olla, a big pot. There are different types of sancocho. Some have beef, some chicken, some pork, and some fish. Some even have a combination of three of these. The meat is cooked in a well-seasoned meat broth, often with cilantro, onions, garlic, tomatoes, and root vegetables like potatoes or yuca. Sometimes, it would be prepared in advance, and then warmed on top of a wood fire by a designated cook, while adults have a drink sitting by the riverbed, and the kids swim in the river. Or as some Colombians call it, tirando baño. I grew up in Colombia, moved to the States when I was 18, and have settled down in the Bay Area, California. I've never gone on a paseo de olla on the banks of a river. It was simply too dangerous.
Habían peligros, era ya después de que fui casada, pero cuando iba, eso fue como en los 90, 88, 90, que eran los peligros de la guerrilla, de...
When I was growing up in the early 90s, guerrillas and other violent actors congregated around Colombia's main rivers. And so, the traditional paseo de olla had to be taken indoors. Recently, though, things have changed. Colombia is presumably getting safer, and people are now returning to the banks of the rivers for traditional paseos de olla. So now's my chance. I decided to embark on a trip down the Magdalena River in search of this experience that my mom and other Colombians remember so fondly. But before I left, I thought about this phrase I'd heard while growing up. There's a sound from the river, it's because it carries stones. I asked my mom what it meant.
Que lo del río suena piedras lleva no es solo de desconfiar de alguien, es de ponerle atención a algo porque le está avisando alguna situación.
My mom said to me, the phrase is used as a caution, to pay attention to red flags and to heed their warning.
Yo también te amo mucho, hijo mío. Estoy muy orgullosa.
Está bien.
I'm excited. Now I'm just here at the gate, just waiting for the flight.
It's January 5th, 2024, and after a couple of legs of air travel from the Bay Area, I landed at El Dorado International Airport in Bogotá, my home city. Now I'm making my way to the Magdalena Medio region, to the northwest.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo estás? Gracias.
And off I went, from the mountains of Bogotá, towards the banks of the Magdalena River. As the plane took off, I put on a playlist I had started on New Year's Day. I titled the playlist La Subienda. This was for two reasons. One, the song that opens the playlist is called La Subienda. It was written by Zenén Palacios and popularized by Gabriel Romero. The second reason, La Subienda is a migration event that happens around this time every year. It means the rise. It's when the fish swim upstream to lay their eggs. And it's when lots of Colombians go down the river on paseos de olla, to fish, to have fun, and tirar baño. The song focuses on a special fish that lives in Magdalena waters, the bocachico.
El bocachico es astuto, como que sabe escribir. Él sabe el día que llega y cuando debe partir.
The song says the bocachico is clever and seems to know how to write a story because it knows the day that it arrives and when it must leave. The bocachico is a classic ingredient in sancocho. During my trip, I'm going to sail downstream the famous Magdalena River searching for these bocachicos, and hopefully I'll enjoy a delicious bocachico stew in my first ever paseo de olla. I landed in the Yariguíes airport, named after the original peoples of this land.
Carmelo? ¿Bien o no?
Bien, bien, gracias a Dios.
Camilo, mucho gusto. ¿Te puedo dejar una mesa acá atrás?
My driver, Don Carmelo, took me to Antioquia from Santander to meet my host, Professor Elga Moreno, and her father, the former fisherman, Don Pedro Joaquín Moreno.
Mucho gusto.
¿Qué tal, Camilo? ¿Cómo estás?
Mucho gusto.
Elga is a humanities professor at a local school, La Institución Educativa Rural San Miguel del Tigre. She works as a journalist and spends a lot of time doing community work.
Papá, llegó Camilo.
Ay, caramba, Camilo.
¿Qué más, Camilo?
Mucho gusto. Pedro Joaquín.
Pedro Joaquín, Camilo.
Ah, bueno.
And this is Don Pedro, Elga's father. He's 78 years old and a former fisherman.
Ah, bueno, yo pensé que era muy más viejo, chiquitico.
No, no. Es enorme,
hijo. Alto y más joven.
Tiene pinta de un buen periodista.
Menos mal.
Don Pedro is a jokester. He just said he thought I'd be older and shorter. To which I replied, nah, I'm taller and younger. Then he said, you look like what a good journalist looks like. I'm flattered.
Dulces de mi tierra.
Uy, ¿qué dice que esto es?
Cinco,
¿cuál quieres? Coja uno. Creo que
Before I even stepped into the house, Don Pedro and Elga already were offering me all sorts of sweets and candies. Guava, blackberry, cider, arequipe or dulce de leche, and panela or jaggery. Colombians are well known to be very hospitable people, but this was something more. I'd soon come to learn this kind of behavior is classic Elga. Elga is warm and jovial. It was clear she loves teaching and sharing her culture with the world. She's the true definition of a ribereña, or a river person.
Esta casa está hecho un despelote porque no, acabamos de llegar de pescar.
Elga said her place was a mess because they'd just gone fishing and got in some bocachicos. My eyes lit up. I only just arrived, and the fisherman and his daughter had already gotten what I had come to find. Elga's dad, Pedro, was born in Cepita, in Santander, and ever since he was a kid, he'd been going to the Chicamocha River.
Allá, desde mi tierna edad, desde los 7 años, empecé a pescar en ese río.
Don Pedro says that he's fished the same banks from the tender age of 7 until now, at 78. He says he carries the river in his soul, and that the fish give the ribereños strength and fortitude. If you can tell by now, Don Pedro is quite the poet.
El río Magdalena es el corazón de Colombia. Y no solamente por su la influencia que tiene en la dimensión del agua, porque es recogedor de muchos afluentes.
Don Pedro says the Magdalena is the heart of Colombia. Its tributaries are arteries that Colombian river people rely on to survive. It provides fish and therefore jobs. Even its sand has been used as bricks to build homes. Pedro and Elga used to live next to the river. As a child, Elga would go with her dad. She swam and he fished. And together, they prepared a delicious sancocho. They didn't even need the paseo. Going to the river was their life. While Don Pedro regaled me with stories of time spent at the river, Elga stayed quiet. I asked her why.
Pero tú dejaste de ir al río por varias razones. ¿Me puedes contar unas de esas razones?
Bueno, la primera, porque soy mujer y cuando cumplí 13 años, mi papá pensó que me podían robar. Entonces ya dejé de acompañar a mi padre. Y luego entré al
She told me that she stopped going to the river when she was a teenager.
Dicen que hay un Moán y una Moana. Y que
because she was 13, she says, a woman. And Pedro thought that she could get kidnapped. The kidnapping culprit, the Moán, also known as El Hombre Caimán, a half-crocodile, half-man figure that could drag her to the bottom of the river. Colombian singer Martina Camargo tells a story about it in her song El Moán.
Río, 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 color de plata te vean, los peces y el Moán en tus aguas se pasean. Río, 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 color de plata te vean, los peces y el Moán.
In a country like Colombia, this is the kind of lore that you're accustomed to hearing. Something tells me Elga stopped going to the river for the same reason everyone else did. The violence. Like a lot of Latin American countries, Colombia was politically tumultuous in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. During those decades, it was no longer a battle of ideas, of left-wing guerrillas versus right-wing governments. The left-wing guerrillas were starting to kidnap ordinary people. And, noticing a failure from the state to provide safety, Colombians formed their own paramilitary groups to fight against the guerrillas. On top of that, there was the drugs. The narcos, the guerrillas, and the paramilitaries were all getting into drugs. And they were all corrupt. This was the Colombia I grew up in. But in recent years, Colombia has begun to reckon with its violent history. In 2016, a peace treaty was signed between the government and one of the major Marxist guerrillas, the FARC. Because of this, hope feels real in Colombia, for the first time in a long time. The longest-standing civil armed conflict in this hemisphere seems to have an end in sight. So for whatever reason, Elga decided to stop going to the river, she's prepared to go with me now, and hopefully, to eat a delicious pot of sancocho with the best fish of all.
El bocachico.
El bocachico.
El bocachico.
The bocachico is a medium-sized fish, up to about 50 centimeters long, about 2 pounds. Its scales are gray and green. The bocachico is born near the marshes or ciénagas, and then it migrates down the river towards the Caribbean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean. During the subienda, the bocachicos swim back upstream towards the marshes to lay their eggs. It has a white flesh full of espinas, or fish bones. It's also really healthy, mostly because of its diet, the mud. I know what you're thinking, mud, therefore dirty. But this riverbed is fed by nutrient-rich ciénagas. The bocachico eat decomposing organic material in the mud, which cleans the river and it makes them rich in healthy protein, iron, omega-3, and vitamin D. Colombians eat bocachico in sancocho, of course, but it can be prepared fried, grilled, or even in a ceviche. And lucky for me, I was about to get the chance to eat it thanks to their catch of the day. Don Pedro had caught the bocachico that same day with their neighbor, Emiliano. They showed me a picture of their haul, about 20 bocachicos in 1 hour. Emiliano's mom, Doña Diva, is preparing the meal.
Muy rico.
Delicioso.
Todo tiene el sabor ahí del bocachico también, o sea, sí, el tomate, la cebolla, la papita, pero ese caldo es puro bocachico.
Sí, claro.
It was cooked in a broth with tomatoes, onions, and potatoes. The bocachico added a slightly fishy flavor to the broth. The fish itself was tender. I was careful to avoid the fish bones. Doña Diva told me to eat the fish eye for good luck. I didn't think twice, and it was maybe the best part of the meal. After dinner, I committed the unforgivable faux pas of asking Doña Diva how old she was.
Doña Diva, ¿cuántos años tiene su merced si le puedo preguntar?
35.
Sí, señor. No le creo. 65. No le creo porque si este señor aquí a mi izquierda es 24 y es el menor.
65.
She says she was 35, and immediately I was like, your son is 24. There's no way. Everyone was having a laugh. It felt light. And it was. People in Colombia feel and seem more hopeful these days. Tomorrow we begin our journey traveling down the Magdalena River to look for bocachico for our paseo de olla. So with the hopes of a great trip ahead and our belly full of delicious bocachico, Don Pedro, Elga, and I each went to bed. We arrived at the Yuma port at Barranca Bermeja at 8 a.m. We checked in, got our tickets, and then walked to the modest harbor where our chalupa boat awaited us. We asked the captain what the least wet part of the boat would be. We were advised to go all the way to the back, as it also would be the least bumpy part. Elga, me, and Pedro sat, in that order, from left to right, in the back of the chalupa. Our fellow travelers arrived, and then we departed. About 45 minutes later, we make it to our first stop, Puerto Wilches, which is about 40 miles north down the river from Elga's house. The plan is to get ourselves to Mompós and then make our way back to San Miguel del Tigre on day two. I look out to the riverbed and see there's erosion eating it away. Some travelers from our boat get off and others get on. Some kids step onto the boat with their parents and a couple of parrots.
Ay, ¿este quién es Pepe? Hola, Pepe.
Hola, Pepe. We find out the parrots are named Pepe and Estrellita. One of the kids offers me popcorn with some food dye.
Okay,
I accept, and we set off yet again.
Pues, se había como hablado, pero supe que su mamá iba para allá, no sé. Va a mirar, ¿eh?
The kids were excited, happy. It's difficult for me to relate. When I was their age, living in Colombia, I was terrified of the river. We continue our journey now to São Paulo, and I imagine hundreds of little bocachicos swimming underneath our boat, heading upstream to lay the eggs of the next generation. Then to El Guayao.
El Guayao.
El Guayao, que tiene dos significados.
And finally, after 6.5 hours, we ended up at El Banco Magdalena. Elga and Don Pedro may have been true ribereños, but they'd never taken a trip so far down the river. We were having lots of fun, but we were hungry for some lunch as we only had breakfast very early in the morning. So we asked for, what else? Boca Chico. And the servers by the port of El Banco gave us the bad news. The fishermen hadn't been able to catch it.
¿Y qué pasó con el Boca Chico?
Estamos buscando el Boca Chico. No lo encontramos todavía.
Escaso el Boca Chico.
It seems bizarre to not be able to get Boca Chico from such a busy area of the river, especially during La Subienda.
Se corta con leche.
Yo ya pedí el caldo de pagre.
I ended up getting some pork and rice and potatoes, and Elga and Don Pedro got some soup. As we ate, Elga sent WhatsApp messages to her family to tell them no guerrillas had stopped us and we had not been kidnapped, that we were safe. Even though the river was safe now, the wounds of the last few decades were still clearly felt. I understand Elga's nerves. I feel it too, this anxiety about impending danger. I've always carried it with me. Anywhere I go, I feel alert and vigilant. Because that was my childhood. No moment of total peace. Only the lingering feeling that something might happen, randomly, and to be prepared for it. That night, before settling into our rental, Elga and I went to a panaderia, got some queso momposino, a specialty of Mompos, and some other delicious Colombian breads. I was disappointed we didn't find Boca Chico today. How did they just disappear from the areas where you'd come to expect them? It reminded me of a quote from the García Márquez book, The General in His Labyrinth. At some bends in the jungle, they could already see the first devastation caused by the steamship crews in order to feed the boilers. The fish will have to learn to walk on land because the water will disappear. And maybe that's what had happened. Maybe the fish grew feet and left to a safer area, an area where they would be less threatened by the violence.
Buenos días.
Hola, Camilo, muy buenos días.
Ya fuimos a ver al prócer.
The next morning, Elga told me she'd met a couple of scientists last night who were willing to chat with us about the Boca Chico. We walked towards the Panadería Central of Mompos, the central bakery, where we would meet them.
Buenas, ¿qué tal? Buenas, buenas, ¿qué tal?
Carlos.
Carlos, ¿cómo estás?
Mónica.
A chemist and a biologist, Carlos and Monica were traveling via motorcycle around the river. They ended up explaining that in Magangue, a town further down the river from Mompos, even closer to the sea, they had been able to eat Boca Chico.
Lo que está ocurriendo puede ser que como Magangue tiene ciénagas, entonces, y eso es un animal que él se alimenta de, ¿cómo se llama eso? Como de detritos, de materia de descomposición en el...
Carlos explained that the Boca Chico are opportunists. They love the swampy ciénagas that feed into the river because there they can eat all sorts of organic material in the mud. They're also commonly found where two tributaries join together because there is more oxygen in the water there. But these days, the Mompos Brazo is drier than before, and the quality of the mud is suffering due to erosion over time. The causes go back a while. The Zenú and other indigenous groups worked to incorporate an irrigation technology that wouldn't disrupt fish and nature. But then, Spanish colonizers introduced new species that were not endemic to the region. This, plus building dams and the creation of urban environments near the river, has altered it. These changes have eroded the riverbed and ultimately affected the health of the river in certain areas. Carlos then told me that for Boca Chica to thrive, they need to be able to journey up and down the river during la subienda in order to breed. But some fishermen are overfishing. They're catching younger Boca Chicos who haven't been able to reproduce yet. To top it all off, climate change is causing rain to be less predictable. If there's less rain than predicted, then the Boca Chicos start migrating more frequently, thinking that it's their moment to reproduce. Oftentimes, they're migrating before they're even old enough to lay eggs. And then the fishermen catch them before they're even able to complete a migration cycle. There's also bad management practices around riverbeds and fertilizers and pesticides making their way to the river. It's been an ongoing problem. Even reports from the early 2000s established the diminishing number of fish. And so, the sad truth is, just as people are finally returning to the Magdalena River for the Paseos de Olla, the Boca Chicos' days may be numbered.
After the break, Helga receives a call. And now, back to our story.
We're getting ready for our journey back up the river to get ready for our Paseo de Olla tomorrow when Helga's phone rang. It seemed important. She needed to leave the room and went out to receive the call. I couldn't hear what the call was about, but I could hear the shortness, the straightforward tone, and the monosyllabic nature of Helga's responses. I could tell Helga was upset. I asked what happened.
¿Qué pasó?
La casa donde nos hospedamos es de propiedad de una persona que está amenazada por un grupo armado al margen de la ley.
Helga then told me and Pedro that her landlord has been threatened by the ELN, the biggest remaining leftist guerrilla group in Colombia. And so he decided to lay low at his house, the house that Helga rents. My heart sank. The river carried stones indeed. It was clear that it would be too dangerous to return to the house tonight. I wondered if the guerrilla group knew that Helga was hosting an American journalist. I wonder what they would do if they found out. I'd left my clothes at Helga's place because the plan was to stop by her place that night before we set forth to the middle of the Magdalena for our Paseo de Olla. How was I gonna get my clothes? Helga's place was compromised. We needed to find a new place to sleep tonight. I snapped back into a state I was familiar with since I was a child. Alert, on edge, waiting for something bad to happen. I didn't realize it then, but this phone call would bring back my childhood trauma. The violence of the river impeding our trip and its sense of safeness.
Entonces, por seguridad de él, por seguridad nuestra, vamos a dormir en la capital, en Yondó.
Helga suggested we find a hotel in Yondó, a town near her home. We started our drive home from Colombia's northwest towards the Magdalena Medio. Tomorrow is the Paseo de Olla. I'd finally be able to experience that sacred Colombian tradition that my mother told me about. But I couldn't sleep. The close encounter with the guerrilla group rattled me. Intrusive thoughts flooded my head. Was I going to be kidnapped in the middle of the night? Was I going to be able to see my wife again? My dog? My mom? My siblings? I also think about the Boca Chico, how despite the environmental changes, the dams, the overfishing, it finds a way to survive. Find little swampy corners of the rivers, little pockets of life. I will go to a Paseo de Olla tomorrow, but I wonder if it's truly safe to do so. I didn't sleep well, but I woke up smelling breakfast from my room's window. At the neighborhood breakfast spot, I drank a couple of tintos, or long black coffees, and ate a couple of arepas, the traditional Andean corn cakes. Elga got a call that her landlord had fortunately left. She went back to retrieve my things and some of hers, to be safe. The mood was not celebratory. We're all a bit taken aback by what had happened last night. But at least we finally were on our way. I still felt like my mission was about to be accomplished.
Gracias. ¿Bajamos todo de una vez?
Yo creo, ¿no?
Ven, yo conozco a Yomaira de una vez también, sí. ¿Puedo entrar? Listo. ¿Qué más, Yomaira?
García Márquez once said that as Colombians, we have to discover the general's labyrinth to recognize and deal with our own maze of problems. After breakfast, we met the cook for our paseo de olla, Yomaira. As we packed the boat, Yomaira's grandson waited by the dock, surrounded by butterflies. I couldn't believe it. I just had one of the worst nights of my life, and now I was seeing one of the most beautiful sights I had ever seen. And that was Colombia for you. Contradictory, violent, and in the midst of that chaos, still magical. And then we arrived on the small island in the middle of the Magdalena, the site of our Paseo de Olla. We settled near the river, and Yomaira began cooking a stew in a house she owns on the island. She added a fish called capaz as a replacement for the bocachico we couldn't find during our river trip. You might have fried the capaz in a large pot over medium heat. Little by little, she tossed in other ingredients, like onions, cumin, salt, pepper, and the plantains. It was a humid day. I found some shade and sat down. People drank poker beer and colombiana, a soda that always reminds me of my childhood. Every now and then, Elga and I would offer to help Yomaira, but she told us that it was okay, to please sit and enjoy the warm weather and the shade. Despite yesterday's events, Elga was surprisingly relaxed. And then she surprised me. She began to tell me why she really stopped going to the river all those years ago.
Mi papá quería que yo fuera hombre, que yo fuera niño, para poder acompañarlo al río.
Elga says that her dad wanted a boy. When she came along, it was a disappointment for him.
Entonces, cuando mi papá me empezó a llevar al río a acompañarlo a la pesca, pues.
But when Pedro started to take Elga to fish, that changed. One day, when Pedro was fishing in the Magdalena, his atarraya, his fishing net, got stuck.
Y no salía, y no salía, y yo a mi papá en esa época ya le empezaron a dar calambres. Entonces yo dije, a mi papá le dio un calambre y está torcido allá debajo del agua. Yo estaba muy angustiada, yo tenía 13 años.
He was pulled under the water. Elga waited for a moment, but Pedro did not come up. Four men came. They told Elga they'd been watching, and that they'd help them. And then the four men took Pedro out of the water and greeted him by name. But Pedro didn't know them. The four men were guerrillas. From that very moment, Pedro forbade Elga from going anywhere near the river.
La vida me sigue manteniendo junto al río y esta vez junto al río grande, el río Magdalena.
But Elga says life kept pulling her back to the Magdalena River.
Entonces los ríos han sido para mí las aguas que vienen hoy así en forma de lágrimas también.
Today, she says, the river comes to me in the form of tears. I am the Magdalena River. And it is thanks to my parents who showed me from a very young age where beauty, wealth, and what is important lies. And that is in the river. I ask Elga how it feels to be back here by the river after everything she's been through.
Se siente fuerte, se siente sólido, real. No es una ilusión. Es real, o sea, aquí
it feels strong, it feels solid, it feels real. It's not an illusion. There are so many opportunities. I see hope and the tranquility of being safe in my old age. I trust that Colombians can live in peace and that the armed conflict will finish. Truly.
Rico, mira.
It was time for lunch. Some campesinos that worked harvesting plantains joined us. And with that, we began to eat the sancocho. The fish was salty, balancing the broth, made sweet by the root vegetables in it. I added some rice to soak up the flavors. It was truly melting your mouth, delicioso. Sure, it was a bummer that I didn't have bocachico in the sancocho. But then I remembered something my mom said in our conversation before my trip, talking about what she would eat or not in a paseo de olla.
A mí el pescado no me gusta.
I don't like fish, she says. The paseo without bocachico is still a paseo de olla, just like the one my mother would have enjoyed. Seeing all these people around me, joyful and sharing, was better than I could have imagined. Everyone complimented the chef, Yomaira, and thanked her for bringing us together.
A Pedro, a Emiliano y a Camilo.
¿A qué?
Yomaira's grandson approached us and said, it's time to tirar baño, and to the river we went. I jumped into the river, and like a bocachico, I found myself back at home. The water was warmer than I expected. Yomaira's grandson joined me. Then came Emiliano, and then came Elga. We jumped from boats to the river, making sure that the current wouldn't take us too far. We were all laughing, we were joyful. The water cleansed the stress of yesterday. I felt refreshed. Despite the danger of the trip and the sadness I felt at the lack of bocachico, the tradition lived on. I was experiencing a paseo de olla. I was, finally, tirando baño. In the weeks since my trip, the trauma of the close call with the guerrillas settled in. It triggered something in me which was slightly dormant during my time in the US. I had a panic attack and started PTSD therapy to process it. Since then, I've realized this anxiety is part of me as a Colombian. The river did carry stones. The Magdalena, the Bocachico, and Colombians like me have each been a victim of this armed conflict. But to this day, paseos de olla keep happening around the country, sometimes in the midst of violence. This beautiful region, this river, and its people, the ribereños, find ways to survive amidst tragedy, just like the Bocachico, and just like the paseo de olla. May we be so lucky as to keep these traditions alive for decades to come.
Thanks to reporter Camilo Garzon and Quintero Productions for bringing us today's story. If you like Proof, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you'll get new episodes as soon as they drop. And while you're there, why not leave us a rating or write us a review? It really helps other people find the show. This episode of Proof is hosted by me, Kevin Pang, and the podcast is made by the following cast of characters.
I'm Yumi Araki, the managing producer.
I'm executive producer Caitlin Kelleher.
I'm supervising producer Caroline Rickard.
I'm producer Alex Curran Cardarelli.
I'm associate producer Angelica Quintanilla.
I'm Sarah Joyner, the story editor.
I'm Bridget Lancaster, creator and the founding host and producer.
Audio services are provided by Ultraviolet Audio with sound design supervision by
Matt Boynton.
Scoring, mixing, and sound design by
Anya Gzeshik.
Brian Campbell of Signal Sounds composer theme music, additional music by Kyle Forster and Jordan Pearson.
Jen Margolis
is our director of post-production, and our director of production is
Diane Knox.
Fact-checking and additional research by
Sarah D. Collins.
Special thanks to Ruth Alves, Claire Breen, Camilo's mom Sarah Castaño, and Lance Fries.
Jack Bishop
is the chief creative officer, and Dan Surratt is America's Test Kitchen's CEO. Thanks to our sponsor, Pluga Premium Butter. Proof is a production of America's Test Kitchen.